Well, good morning. It's great to see you guys today. Great to have you here with us. We have a very different service for you today, and can't wait to share with you what we're going to be doing this morning. I hope everybody had a great Thanksgiving. I hope you really had a good time and enjoyed it and thought about what you were thankful for this year, what God's brought into your life. And I think today we'll kind of continue that theme of thankfulness by seeing what God has done in the lives of some of our friends and new partners to our church. This morning, Ben Palau and his wife Melody are going to share with us Ben Palau and his wife are going to share with us today, Melody, and they're just awesome new friends. Ben and I met recently, and I have to tell you that a lot of people come before me as the pastor of this church who have a lot of good causes. There are a lot of good things that are going on in their lives and their ministries, and they want our church to partner with them, and they come to me and talk to me. And I guess because I've been doing it so long, I've grown probably kind of a healthy skepticism about a lot of this. And so I talk to a lot of people, and sometimes we move forward with a partnership, and sometimes I have to say, hey, that's a great cause, but it's not something that we can help out with at this point. But when I met Ben and we started to talk, there was just like an instant brotherhood. We just connected and we laughed and we had a great time, and the more we talked, the more I could sense his sincerity, and it was like he and Melody could just be here. They could be one of us. I mean, they are just exactly like the kind of people that we find here in our town and here at our church. And so the more I talked to them, the more I started to think, you know, this could be something that God is doing. And I wanted them to come and share with you. I wanted you to hear their heart for what they're doing. And I guarantee you what they have to share with you today is going to make you thankful. It's going to make you grateful. It's going to make you blown away by the provision of God. It's going to make you laugh. It's going to make you cry. You better get your tissues ready. Just full disclosure and warning. You better get ready for that. It will touch your heart. It'll stir your spirit. It will hurt you in some ways, but ultimately it will help you. And I want you to consider this morning how you can be a part of what they're doing. Anytime I bring somebody before you, I'm not bringing them before you so you can hear a story and be a good audience member. I'm bringing them before you because I think that God has something in store for you in this, a partnership for you in this, so that you don't have to just be a spectator in God's work, but you can take a step of faith and actually be a part of it. Now, you know I don't do this very often. So I believe in it. I believe in what they're doing. I believe God's brought them here. So Ben and Melody come up with us. They've been married for 28 years. They have 4 children, and they run a ministry called Africa Family Rescue, and I'm so glad to have them. Will you welcome them here this morning?
Good morning, Grace community. It's a total honor to be here today. I feel like I got 2 new brothers. Jess is one of them. What's up, Jess? I told my wife we're going to go meet an actual real Viking today. Did I disappoint you?
No, not at all.
A gentle Viking. So I'm a little nervous right now. So what do I do when I get nervous? I pray. So if you could bow your heads with me and pray with me. Father God, Abba Father, we love you today. This is a season of gratefulness, and we thank you for your grace. I just thank you for this church. I pray that you would continue to grow it. I pray for next Sunday as they open up the Children's Center and all the excitement there, that you would just bless that day. And Lord, give me, Melody and I, the words to speak, and I pray that you'd soften hearts and teach your people, help them hear what you want them to hear. Not what I want them to hear, in Jesus' name, amen. So this morning, Steve asked us to share, and before I did that, I wanted to make an announcement, since Jess already finished the announcements. I don't know if Steve, did you tell your wife this? Steve is going to Africa with us next June. And I'm not kidding you. He's going to Africa with us. We have a two-week trip. You can talk to us afterwards about signing up. Rumor is that he might bring a few people with him. So if you want to check out after hearing our story, if you want to go stand in the face of third world poverty and let God wreck you and come back home and be contagious about that, let us know. But today what we're going to do is going to open up with a little story about a very, very, very sad situation. Then we're going to give you history of how God took a computer geek and a housewife all the way to the middle of Africa. And then we're going to end on how you can help us. What is Africa Family Rescue? Where do I point? Africa Family Rescue is a nonprofit, faith-based organization that restores hope and dignity to families, communities, churches affected by extreme poverty in Africa. So, walk back with me in time to July of this year on our annual trip to Uganda. And we were going through the villages where we have many families in our program. And I saw my wife just kind of drift off to the right as we were dealing with another family, and I didn't know what she was doing. And I looked over and I took this picture, and I want her to talk about what God was doing in her heart there.
We actually have, good morning, everyone. Good morning. We actually were just going and visiting a family. We do this on a regular basis, and we see a lot of widows and a lot of orphans. I'm used to experiencing a lot of women that are traumatized, and this was an interesting situation. We walked into a compound. I was expecting a female widow, which there was one there, but off to the left, I saw this run-down little shack, and there was it was hard to miss, but even harder to miss was a man who was scooting on his bottom, using his hands, trying to like race out of this little shack and kind of around the corner. Well, I immediately went up to him and stopped him. I'm sure it was quite rude, but as you'll get to know me, that's not abnormal. So I stopped him and started speaking through the translator. And this man, I can't explain to you but I've seen a lot of women that are traumatized, but it's rare that you get to an opportunity to see a grown man with empty, hollow eyes, starving, looking at you and thinking, I'm so ashamed that I'm sitting here right now. That this man was just zoning in on my eyes, and I just thought, what is happening here? So this is Muze Idi, and Muze is just grandpa or elder, and he was coming out of this little shack, and his arms, his legs, everything was covered in rat bites. He was being eaten by animals in this little shack.
So you see that metal thing on the bottom by the door? That's his door, because he can't stand up, so he'd slide it back and forth. Both of his hips were shattered 10 years ago. And in Uganda, there's one doctor per 45,000 women, so you can imagine he never got that taken care of. Of course, no resources to do that. Are we able to dim these front lights at all for the video? No? Okay. The next scene you're going to have is a video, and I want you to watch Muze's eyes. That's here. And then I'm going to take you for like a 10-second tour inside that house. How many of you would put your dog in that house? How about the flip it? Oh, there we go.
This is Muze, Jaja, they are married. Sarah is their daughter, and this is her son, Derek. She is a widow. Muze has broken his hip, and he is unable to do any standing. He walks around on his hands. He's starving, We gave him some sausage to survive for the day. Sarah has been trying to take care of this family. They have to live separate because culturally the father cannot sleep where the daughter is sleeping. So he stays in this hut where the rats come, where the animals come. He's been here for 2 years, and he's in pain constantly. This family is suffering beyond anything I can even imagine. Please consider sponsoring them. Please.
Thanks. I can barely watch that because I was right there taking the video. And thankfully that day we put this on Facebook and he got sponsored. And there'll be more of his story at the end of our presentation. But Melody and I got in our van and went back to our apartment in Kampala, Uganda. And we couldn't sleep that night. It was one of the, we've been doing this 15 years, and it was just one of the most painful experiences, and our hearts were just wrecked. And I remember Melody saying, we got to get him a bed. We got to get him off the floor. We got to get him a house. We got to get him some food. And I'm sorry. I'm a little bit shook up here. Okay, so just opened up with that story so that you could kind of feel the weight of the burden that God has given us. But now I want to tell you, how in the world did a woman who told me she would never be a missionary to Africa, that she would never be a pastor's wife, and she would never have children, those were her requirements for me to marry her. And I didn't care about pastoring. I was going to be a businessman. I didn't even think about Africa. I mean, I didn't think about it. But I did want 10 children. So I said, you know, the Lord will have to work on your heart, but I'll marry you still. Is that how it went? No. So 5 years later, we had 4 kids in 5 years. We had a set of Irish twins, if you all know what that is. Amber and Nathan are nine months apart? Oh, 13 months apart. That's our baby Hope. She's 19. Amber is 24. Nathan is 23. And Michael is 21. People were afraid to drink our water. Now go ahead another 5 years, and I am now at my dream job as a computer network engineer and chaplain at VeggieTales up there near Chicago. We had our headquarters there. Anybody ever watched one of these crazy shows? I'll tell you what, I thought that was my dream job until I got to Africa, but that was my dream job for 3 years. While I was at work one day, my wife, who said she would not have any children, is now homeschooling all 4 children, but she was not wearing denim. She's not a denim-wearing homeschool mom. She was a cool mom. What?
There's nothing wrong with denim, ladies. It's fine. Actually, currently, I believe overalls are very much in style again. Let's just get that straight. Okay.
So imagine this. I'm at work. Melody is at the library with our 4 kids getting little books. And on the way out, this man walks up to her. And my wife grew up in the rough side of Chicago, west side. And when she gets upset, my kids say, Dad, Mom's going west side. So, I mean, she's got street smarts. And this guy comes up, and he was not dressed like this. This is at a fundraiser where he really cleaned up well. He was dressed in, you know, broken glasses with tape and very poor. And he asked my wife, in broken English, you drive here. And he gave her an address, and some crazy reason, she gets this guy in our vehicle with our 4 children. What were you thinking?
Actually, I wasn't thinking anything. I just kind of had a peace in my heart that this was not a negative thing. It just didn't feel that way to me. So packed everybody up in the car, put them in there, that night, my son said to Ben, "Mom, Daddy, or Mommy, Dad, Mom drove a strange man home from the library today." And Ben just flipped out. "What?" So, we went over to the house, all of us packed in the car, and I was just so embarrassed. And literally, the guy said, "I'll come over." So he literally came over for dinner that night. And then, Ben, what did you do?
Well, you said it was okay.
Yeah.
Well, we invited him to move in our home for 3 years. So he became like a father to our children and a very close brother to Melody and I. And his wife and 8 children were stuck in Africa, and he was seeking political asylum. And I'm glad to announce today that he has political asylum and his family is in America. And God, the funny thing about God is, look at his name. Has anyone ever heard of the providence of God? I just can't imagine if Melody hadn't been in the library, we wouldn't be standing here today. And thousands of people's lives would have never been changed but for this providential meeting. And so at night, we would have family meals together, and Providence and I, we would all like brainstorm, how could we help some of these people? He would tell us about the poor, and we would teach him how to speak English, really how to pronounce it. He could read and write, but he had struggle with pronouncing it. He spoke 5 other languages, like all of us Americans, right? And he was a brilliant man, and he came up with a plan, a 3-year plan to help widows and orphans. So instead of us bringing American Western ideas to Africa, we brought African ideas from America to Africa and launched this program. But this is how it happened. We started asking him, how could we do this? And we said, could you get us 10 families, just Melody and I, with my salary from VeggieTales? We're like, we can help 10 people. So we sent an email to his uncle, who worked in the villages, and we forgot about it. 3 months later, we got this package in the mail with 220 families, added up to 1,540 people, and they all looked like this. And we were the only people that knew they existed. So, Melody, what did you think when you started opening these pictures?
Well, my first thought was, we got to get rid of these people. That is the serious truth. I was like, how do we hand these off to somebody? How, this is too much. This is so big. What do we do? We don't know what to do. And we called World Vision, we called World Relief, we called Compassion, wonderful organizations that offered something for the families, but it wasn't going to be anything that would save these people's lives. And the burden got heavier on my heart. I really wish that this, at the time, I was really wishing that it was like TV, that I could just turn the channel and know somebody else has got that. How many have done that? Somebody else has got that. It is not my job. That is not my job. This, for some reason, became my family's. It became my responsibility. And that really resonated with me, and I think that was resonating with Ben, too.
Yeah, we both separately had heard the Lord speak to us and say that these were our families. So watch as God drags Melody to Africa, okay? This is crazy. During the time we got these 220 families, I had this great idea. Let's get a PowerPoint presentation. And we visited 10 of the biggest churches in Chicago. And after 10 churches, does anyone have a guess how much money we raised for these poor people? Someone shout out a number. You're such a quiet bunch today.
Zero.
Someone was in the first service. We raised $0. And the last pastor knew Melody and I. And he pointed to this picture when I was doing the presentation. He goes, "I don't see your face. Where's Melody?" And I turned to Melody in that meeting and I said, "Baby, we got to go to Africa." And what did you do?
Something like this. oh, no, I'm not doing that. I got babies to take care of, something like that. That's the Chicago thing.
Yes. She went a little west side. She literally got up and left that meeting. And I was very embarrassed.
Jesus is working on my attitude. I'm just letting you know he is working on my heart. Thank you for understanding.
Well, he really worked on her heart because she then, has anyone seen Schindler's List? I don't know if you remember that movie. It was about a man who saved, I don't know, a couple hundred thousand, or a couple, how many? 1,200 people. And at the end of the movie, Schindler takes his ring off and he says to himself, and he's just sobbing. He's like, oh my goodness, I could have saved 10 more people or something like that. And Melody came up to me one day, took her ring off that I had worked for about 4 years, three years, worked at a dog kennel. So, you know, those were some hard dollars earned. And she said, Ben, I'm going to sell this, and we need to raise $6,200 for our trip. If God raises the rest of the money after we sell our rings, then we're supposed to go to Africa. That was her little fleece that she put out for God. And God has a sense of humor because the day before we left, we had $6,000 towards our trip. And we were $200 short. And Melody looked at me at 12 o'clock noon and she said, cancel the trip. I was like, baby, I got an entrepreneurship degree. I'm going to go mow some yards. We got this. She said, no, that wasn't the deal. Cancel the trip. And I said, well, you know, we can't get our tickets back. And I said, let's see what God does. It's still early in the day. And why don't you tell what happened that night?
Well, I kind of want to explain why I'm so stubborn. Maybe this isn't true, but honestly, I really truly believed in my heart that God wouldn't want me to leave my babies, that those were my first ministry, and that there couldn't be any possible way that God would want me to leave those kids. And so in my head, I'm thinking, he's just going to confirm to Ben that this is not the route. So that day, somewhere around 5 o'clock, the sun was going down, and a lady that we'd never met before came to our door, knocked on our door, and handed Ben an envelope. He handed it immediately over to me, and he said, you open it. I opened it, and there was $200. I was stunned. I was terrified, and I really honestly believed that I was going to go to a foreign country where I'd never been before. I had never met anyone there. We were not going to an organization to see anyone that we knew. We were the organization, and we were going to meet strangers. Somebody could have kidnapped us. But you know what? The Holy Spirit kept opening the doors and opening the doors and opening the doors, and we kept walking through them. Well, Ben walked through them. I was kind of dragged. But that next day, we were getting on the plane. Ben, everybody was on the plane. The pilots, everybody was on the plane. I was on the jetway crying because I thought I knew what I wanted my life to be. My life is in the States, taking care of my babies, and God is sending me someplace else, and I didn't understand it, and the pilot comes off the plane, and he says, ma'am, are you going to get on this plane, because we're leaving. It was that moment when I realized sometimes God takes us out of what we think we are supposed to be doing into a place that we need to be doing something else. We don't understand it. Sometimes God is dragging us, but all we have to do is say yes, yes, okay, yes. That's what I did.
Well, that yes was kind of temporary for me, watching her. How many of you been out of the Central Standard Time Zone? We had never been out of the CST, and we were going to 9 hours ahead. So we experienced something very fun called jet lag, and that doesn't make for a good marriage, especially when you've left your four children and you cannot contact them because there's no electricity in the gorilla hotel that you're staying in, and there's no running water when you want a shower, and there's ex-military government officials that I'm meeting with every day with Melody, and everything is extremely uncomfortable as we're trying to set up our nonprofit over there. And by the fifth day, my wife was no longer my friend. I was lost. I didn't know what to do. And I did what, you know, any good American husband would do. I took her to a restaurant, a very nice restaurant. I asked one of the guys, I'm like, tell me the best place you could possibly take someone. We went outside, very romantic, beautiful banana trees all around. The sun was shining, and as we're eating, Melody has her sandwich and a pterodactyl, that's what she said, came over my head, took the bread out of her hands, scratched her forehead, and she's bleeding with his talon, and takes her sandwich away. And my 5'2" and a half, 5'3", beautiful wife pushed herself away from the table and said, give me the tickets now. And a couple other unkind words that I won't repeat in church. I think Steve heard me say some of those at our lunch. But things got really, really real because she got up and left me at this table and disappeared without a cell phone, my beautiful wife, in the middle of Rwanda where we all thought we were going to die. So where in the world did you go?
I was looking for chocolate, like any good woman would do. So I found a store that said gelato, and I just remember journaling that while I was eating and just saying, God, I don't get it. I don't understand why I'm here. I should be home. This is so uncomfortable. I don't understand this. Why am I here? And then I went back to the Gorilla Hotel and made Ben sleep on the floor.
It was a cement floor, too. And remember, she's literally not talking to me from noon that last day. So
I do not recommend this as a missionary. I apologize for my bad attitude.
So the next morning I wake up and we have a schedule. We have to go visit these families, the 220 that came on my porch in a package. We were going to go physically stand in front of them and greet them and tell them hope is coming and tell them about the love of Jesus. And I asked Melody, I said, I know you're not talking to me, but I'm going to the village. Are you coming? She didn't say anything. She just got in the van. And this was a six-hour trip. And does anyone see a sign of any kind of road near where we are? Acts 1:8 talks about being witnesses to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. You know, a lot of churches do a great job with Jerusalem, Judea. What about the uttermost parts? And here God had taken us into the jungle, into the bush of Africa. And if you can see it, my wife is the one with the backpack, not the child on the back. We were in that vehicle with 18 other Africans going to church that day. And God started moving on our hearts. And we finally got to the church. We did church in the village. It was an incredible experience. Highly recommended if you want to come on that trip with us. We do it twice. But after church, we told the guy that we didn't really know, his name was Ustash, we said, we want you to take us to one of the widows in those 220 families. We want to give her two goats and launch her personal business, the one that's going to set her free in 3 years where she's self-sufficient. So we marched up one of the mountains, and this woman walked out of her hut, and this is the woman my wife had on her desktop computer. You know when you set your desktop up and you can leave a picture there all the time? That's the woman who he randomly took us to, and this is where God melted Melody's heart.
Well, this particular woman, her biography had kind of given a little list of what had happened to her. She had seven children. Her husband and her were very wealthy. They had a lot of livestock. As the war in Rwanda, I don't know if you know about the genocide. It was a big, huge deal. 1 million people died within 3 months by farming instruments. And she was taking, the whole family was taking the herd out into the Congo. She was leading the flock with herself and two of her grandbabies. That lady is only 50, I think she's 56 here. Her husband and all of her children and other dozen grandchildren were behind the herd pushing it along. She heard screaming and yelling behind her and turned around and watched as her husband and her children were slaughtered by machetes and hoes and all kinds of things that you can't even imagine that she's seen. And she ran with her two grandchildren, and she was left. I remember telling her, you know, the words that I was learning in Kinyarwanda, which was, Muchechuru Yerabakunda Chani, Yesu Christo, Yerabakunda Chani. Just means, Muchechuru, elderly woman, grandma, Jesus loves you so very much. Jesus loves you. And she looked me in the eye and she said, I feel like my parents have come back to take care of me. The extent of that honor in a third world country is so high, I can't even express to you. But for $17, what we would go to McDonald's for, this woman put me on that pedestal. My heart just sank with sorrow and love and empathy. And I turned to Ben for the first time and I said, I don't understand this, but I'm home. I'm home. You guys, I hate camping. I hate it. I hate camping. I hate bugs. I am not a country girl. I am used to cement. And here I was in the middle of the dirt, in the middle of the rain. And God knew something about me that I didn't know. And that was that when I go there, I can be who I was really meant to be. And I think that just in general, I think that what we need to understand is sometimes we're so comfortable where we are and we don't even want to go where we feel uncomfortable. But that is sometimes where God can do his miracle in our life. So if you're uncomfortable today, if God is bringing you into a place that is broken and you don't understand what is going on, I just want you to know that God is going to bring you to a place where you're home, even in your brokenness.
Wow, I should just stop right here. That was great, honey. Wow. Okay, so I'm going to try to speed through some of this part of our presentation. We eventually moved our four children over into Africa. Those 220 families were sponsored within the first 2 years. And by this point, we had 500 widows and orphan separate families in our program because God was doing his work. I mean, what did we know? We didn't have a Bible degree. We're not commissioned pastors or missionaries. Just a couple of ordinary people that God uses to do extraordinary things. started going back and forth 6 months in Africa, 6 months back here, and then it came time where God told us to sell everything we had. We let go of that. We built this home for our children, and it was our dream home. This is where Providence lived with us and many other Africans. So now fast forward to 2012, the economy is wavering and we have to come back to America to raise more money because many of our donors had lost their jobs. And so we went from Chicago, Africa to Chicago. I took a job opening up the office for this ministry called Team in Grapevine. I recently resigned in September of this year to run Africa Family Rescue full-time in obedience to the Lord. That day with the old man in the village and seeing his condition was one of the most monumental moments where God spoke to both of us and said, it's time, take a leap of faith. So we live in Frisco, Texas right now, and I want to tell you a little story about our daughter, Hope. She's 19 next week, but she should have died 2 years ago. She was hit by an 18-wheeler on Preston Road. She was dead on arrival, and after two helicopter flights, Jesus brought her back to life. And I'm telling you this story because it gets hard to be in ministry sometimes, and you think it's time to stop. When she woke up from her coma after 3 weeks at Parkland Hospital, the first thing she said was, I want to go home. And I was like, well, we're pretty close to Frisco, honey. She goes, no, Daddy, I want to go back to Uganda. Those people, look at how they saved my life in this hospital. They don't even have doctors. And her heart just was so precious at that moment. And we ended up taking her back last year, a very difficult trip, but a very meaningful one to the Africans because they had all seen the pictures. I don't have her car up here because it's so brutal that I think some of you might get triggered. It is a very, very bad situation. That car basically got turned into a motorcycle. It was she was hit on the passenger side, thank the Lord, and it flipped over 50 times. And there's so many miracles around this situation. And we both looked at each other at one point and said, I don't know if we can continue this ministry. And we wrestled with the Lord, and He told us through her to keep things going. And today she has a traumatic brain injury. She needs a lot of prayer. It's definitely put a little bit of a bump in the road for us being full-time in Africa. So we're going to be full-time here in America making trips back and forth as we're caring for her. Another crazy part of our story, has anyone seen Tiny House Hunters? Yes.
We're movie stars. We were on, what was it? Tiny House Hunters. So look up Tiny in Texas. That's us. You'll see more of my awesome attitude.
Yeah, they really pitched us against each other. That was fun. We decided, and we were motivated by all these women and orphans in Uganda that had so much joy, people. Did you see that house that guy had? People with those kind of living conditions, with so much joy. And so we've been watching this movement with tiny homes, and in line with what God was saying, sell everything. I think we had to give away like 140 pairs of shoes. Is that what you had? Something like that. I have 3 pairs of shoes, so I was the good person. But anyway, we landed in this 196 square foot home. We lived in it for 10 months. It has a loft on both sides. We recently had to move back into an apartment to take care of our daughter because her brain injury is not very, it doesn't fit well in this tiny house. But what an adventure that was. But it shows you where God asked us to give everything. Imagine, I mean, I've been in some bathrooms in Frisco that are bigger than that. For real. Gotta go. Okay. Back to Uganda. This is July, the next day after we met with Muse Idi, and this graveyard is actually the backyard of her home. Husband, grandchildren, everyone. And Melody walked away from that place with me, and she said, Ben, we're too late. Again, we're too late. Look at all these graves. And this was another thing solidifying us to go full-time in Africa Family Rescue. Some of the challenges, AIDS, malaria, Islam is spreading very rapidly. Witch doctors, the poverty in Uganda where we are working, the women are making 20 cents a day. They're basically modern-day slaves and their kids. Very, very little clean water or food. What our program does is we work with families with the 3-year sponsorship program. We transform communities with water wells, schools, medical intervention, and we partner with churches. And the hope here is with Grace Community is that we're going to partner with one of the poorest churches we have over there. One day, maybe take a team and build a church, a school, a clinic, and two water wells with a three-year plan and sponsor a bunch of families there. And in 3 years, we'll have a partnership relationship between you guys and them. Instead of just 2 weeks, go disturb the Africans and come back home. I mean, it's going to be an incredible partnership. The first year of sponsorship, we focus on health, food, clothing, getting them off the ground, literally. The second year, we focus on training them how to raise and breed animals, improve their shelter so that they have a dry night's sleep, get the kids in school. And then the last year is when they launch their microfinance, micro business, an incredible 95% success rate because of Providence's plan. So I'm rushing through this. Here's a home, one of the 200 homes we've built before, after, and a team building it right there. Here's one of the 55 water wells that Generosity has done. That's our son Michael fetching water. Here's one of the churches we built. Share the blessing. Some of our families in our program are encouraged to give the firstborn of their livestock to a poor neighbor. That's just an incredible inspiration. This is Serafina 1 year after we first met her. And you can see the dignity and the hope restored in her face and her eyes and her kids.
Banangi.
Okay. Hold on. All right. We got dimmed enough. So remember Muse Itty, hopeless, destitute, starving. One of the best things I did is I bought my staff smartphones. They're all Ugandan staff. And I said, I want video footage when you tell the good news to these people. And Mama Ida is she's in the blue dress, and she's helping Muse Itty understand that he's getting a brand new house. And he doesn't quite catch it at first. Watch this.
Banange abakuru okuva mu America baba batu waddeyo obuyambi era nebawamuzeeyo ono nebasalawo bamuzimbire ennyumba nammwe babayambe mu ngeri
ey'enjawulo.
His new house, before and after on the bottom. He said he slept at the construction site every day just to make sure he wasn't dreaming. And let's see what this next one is. That's his bed. And I have a video of him first ever walking into his, not walking, but scooting into his house, cement floors. Look at that bed, and imagine the first time in his life he'd ever had a bed. So when you think about what you're thankful for.
That's one. Take a home to what?
his kids said, Grandpa, his grandkids said, Grandpa, how did you get this house and how did you get this bed? And he literally told them that Jesus gave him this bed. And so those kids are going to grow up knowing that Jesus is real in the name of Jesus. And we're going to, every time we go back, we're going to visit him and love on him. He currently has a sponsor for the next 3 years, so it's going to be exciting to watch him. So there's all kinds of ways you can partner with us. You can build a house for $4,000. You can sponsor a family. You can buy a goat, a pig, a cow. But today, the reason we're here, remember that leap of faith I took in September when I resigned? We were at 48% funded. We're now at 85%. And I don't know if you've ever tried paying your bills with 85% of the money. It doesn't work. So we're here asking for anyone who God is leading to help us get funded so that we can go back to this slide next time and just say, this is what we need help for. We raise our own salary so that like 98% goes, when you buy a cow, like $93 goes to, or a pig, 93 actually goes there. So that's our story. God called us, we obeyed, and we are fighting for these widows and orphans. So thanks for having us.
So when I was growing up, we used to go to DeRidder, Louisiana, to my grandparents' house, and we would have Thanksgiving dinner there, and they lived way out in the country, and it was always an awesome time of family and friends, and the only bad thing was we could not get any TV reception out there, and so we had one of those old antennas, and it always worked better if you touched it, you know? Because it would use your body and kind of the reception would get better. And so I'll never forget one year my whole family made me stand by the antenna and hold it so that they could watch the Cowboys game on Thanksgiving.
Yes.
So I just stood there and kind of leaned forward. The reason I bring that up is that we've been talking a lot about faith here. Over the last 11 weeks, we've been talking about faith. And we've looked at all these examples in Scripture of faith and how they lived kind of extreme, radical lives, how they went over the top because they trusted God more than what they saw. They trusted God more than what they experienced in their life. And because of that, they took some radical steps of faith. And I think what we find is that faith means that you hold on to those folks. You touch those folks. You stay in contact with them. And as you do, God presents a real clear picture of what he wants to do in the world. And I think God has asked us as a church to come alongside this family to change the lives and the direction of many other families. And what I would like to ask you to do is to consider how you can help. like I said, I don't bring these things before you very often. But there's just something about the Palos. There's something about our time together that has just made me feel like I need to share these folks with you, and we need to share in this ministry together. We've done a lot of work in our community. We've done a lot to try to be a church that looks outward, outside of these walls, and does things for this community. But one key area that we're really deficient in is we don't have a very big global presence. And this gives us the opportunity to really take the full Great Commission into account, to not just go into our community, but to go into the world with the good news of Jesus. And now we have an opportunity to maybe do that in a more significant way than we've done in the past. I want you to consider several things. One, I want you to consider if you want to go on a trip. And if you want to go on a trip, come and talk to me afterwards. There's a little sign-up form out at their table. You can sign up to be a part of their newsletter. If you sign up for that, I'm just going to assume that you're interested in a trip, okay? So now, if you're not interested in the trip, you can still sign up and stay connected to them. But if you are interested in a trip where you write your name, go ahead and put trip out next to that, okay? The second thing I want you to consider is that this ministry doesn't happen without this couple. They have invested their lives. They have felt God's call to do this. And so they need about 16% support to get there. They're 16% away from being 100% funded. And so what we need you to consider is to partner with them on a monthly basis and to help cover their costs and to help them continue to do what they're doing, which is just an unbelievable ministry. You've heard their story. You've had the opportunity to see what God's done with them. God has given many of us the means to be able to help them, and I just like to encourage you to consider that. And if you'd like to help them today, please go to their table. Look, the early service, I don't think they knew quite what to do. They were blown away by this story. They were blown away by what they'd done. They're not going to bite. Go talk to them afterwards. Go find out a little bit more. I want to see a line at their table afterwards. So go talk to them. Go find out more from them. Go see how you can partner with them. You'll spend more on your cable bill this month than it would take to sponsor them. And I guarantee you a sponsorship for them will go much further than any kind of entertainment you can get. And then the last thing I want you to consider is after we take care of them, then we're going to have the opportunity to take care of some of the families that they're touching on a regular basis. So if you want to give a one-time donation toward that, you can. If you want to get involved with them monthly, you can. Either way.